good afternoon, and welcome. Welcome to Born on the 4th of July. I'm your host, Barbara Jean, and it's very much a pleasure to spend time with you on RBN all across the nation, all across the world. Good afternoon to you, one and all. We have today a very great guest for you, someone experienced in that which he shares and tells you about, a INS agent when it was called Immigration and Naturalization Service, and worked in customs and also in many facets of that category of immigration as an inspector at various airports. He has testified before Congress, is a writer, writes essays in regard to this issue, and it's very much my pleasure to say good afternoon to you, Michael.
Well, thank you, Barbara Jean. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I'm certainly happy to join you on your radio show today. How are you?
I'm great, and I've been looking forward to this for a number of years. I would like to share with the audience that I actually have met today's guest, and the setting was the border in Arizona by Fort Huachuca and also Sierra Vista and a few spots along the way. We happened to have a nice evening one night over some steaks in a rustic steakhouse along the border. That was quite an experience, wasn't it, to see firsthand?
It was an amazing experience, you know, and you know, really what it does is encapsulate what an incredible country we live in. You know, here I am a New Yorker. I'm used to the confines of the city, and to suddenly find myself along the border in Arizona where there were these huge expanses of open land and the broad, you know, mountains in front of us, and the broad stretches of ranch land. It was an amazing experience. I won't ever forget it. But, you know,
I feel the same way.
But what really shocked me was the damage done to these ranches by the illegals crossing our borders with impunity. And, you know, this is the whole point. On 9/11, the ashes from the conflagration at Ground Zero landed on my home. That attack took place about 10 or 11 miles from where I live. Many of my neighbors were killed. They went to work hours earlier, and then suddenly we were attacked, and they were turned to ashes. And to see our nation still refuse, I mean absolutely refuse, to secure our nation's border, while at the same time both administrations have been talking about waging a war on terror and protecting the homeland and going after the drug traffickers, but the borders have remained open. We have millions of people in our country whose identities are unknown and unknowable. I saw all this firsthand as an agent. I've arrested illegal aliens from probably every country on this planet, not just for working illegally, although I did spend a number of years raiding factories and farms and that sort of thing, all of my work done in New York, by the way. But I also spent about 10 years as a senior special agent with the Organized Crime Drug Enforcement Task Force. Before that, I spent nearly 4 years as the Immigration and Naturalization Service representative to the Unified Intelligence Division at DEA, and it drove home the point.
We'll go to break. We'll be right back.
The Berkeylite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeylite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try saw palmetto, but beta prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription beta prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try beta prostate risk-free. Call 800-790-6293. Your satisfaction is guaranteed, or you get your money back. 1-800-790-6293. That's
1-800-790-6293. Welcome back to Born on the 4th of July. Today's guest, Michael W. Cutler, and a seasoned person in customs and immigration. And certainly now you've had an opportunity to write some great essays. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you could go to News with Views and find an archive and current essays from today's guest, Michael Cutler. So you've pretty much had a wide spectrum of different categories of law enforcement in your years of service, right? You did a lot.
Oh, absolutely. I was an inspector, I was an adjudicator, and then I rotated through all the divisions within the investigations branch of the INS in New York City.
And what a pivotal city. Earlier you were telling me about how many law enforcement there are in the city and contrasting that to the force along the border. I think those statistics might be of interest to our listeners.
Absolutely. We've got, I think now there's about 12 or 13,000 Border Patrol agents. I'm not sure the exact number of the Border Patrol. Now, that, realize, covers both the northern and southern borders. It means three shifts a day, you know, 24/7 kind of thing. So we really don't have enough Border Patrol, but what's even more incredible is that we don't have enough special agents backing up the Border Patrol. Right now, if an alien runs the border illegally, comes into the United States, or enters through a port of entry, and then one way or another violates the terms of their admission, and by the way, it's estimated that perhaps as many as 40% of all the illegal aliens in the United States did not run our nation's borders, but actually entered through a port of entry, and then either accepted unlawful employment, overstayed the amount of time for which they were admitted, or went on and committed felonies. If you look at those numbers, 40% of the illegal aliens in our country today are those who entered the United States through ports of entry. And once they get lost within the interior of the United States, it's a game of hide and seek, and there are very few agents who are seeking. There were probably no more than about 4,000 ICE agents, immigration and customs agents now, who are enforcing the immigration laws from within the interior of the United States. And to put that in perspective, New York City has been found to be the safest big city in America. We cover a couple of hundred square miles, and New York City has about 37,000 police officers. We have roughly 10% the number of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, for the entire country as New York has for its police department. So when you hear these stories of, oh, my God, immigration is cracking down on the illegals and isn't this terrible, you probably have a better chance of getting struck by lightning in the dead of winter than getting arrested by an immigration agent if you're an illegal alien present in the United States. And this has been a problem for many years, which is how we got into the mess that we're in now. I've testified before, I think it's now 14 congressional hearings since the terrorist attacks of 9/11. And at one of those hearings back in 05, I was called by the Immigration Subcommittee because there was outrage from the Republican Party, and Bush, of course, was the president, and they were upset. Congress had given the president, given his administration, enough money to hire 800 new special agents for ICE and enough money to hire 2,000 additional Border Patrol agents. Inexplicably, the administration slashed those numbers, and the president was only willing to hire 143 additional agents for ICE and 210 additional Border Patrol agents. And, you know, I can't begin to tell you my frustration. Our immigration laws are intended to keep out those people whose presence in our country is harmful to the best interests of the United States and our citizens. This includes aliens who are working and taking jobs Americans would very much want to have, aliens who are involved with a variety of criminal activities ranging from drug trafficking to prostitution to crimes of violence and firearms violations, to aliens involved with terrorism, Nazi war criminals, people who violate people's human rights around the world, and people who harbor dangerous communicable diseases. So those laws are common sense laws that were promulgated with the intention of protecting America and Americans. Of course, now Nancy Pelosi turns around and says, well, it's un-American to arrest illegal aliens, forgetting apparently that the purpose of those laws were to protect Americans. So you look at this disconnect with Washington, and you listen to the nonsense that this is a conservative issue and the right wing wants this. You know, Barbara Jean, I'm a lifelong registered Democrat. In many ways, you would probably, and rightfully so, accuse me of being a pretty liberal person. And yet, here I am, furious at our nation's failures to enforce the immigration laws, because these laws aren't about partisanship. These laws are about the best interests of our citizens across the board and the best interests of what's good for America. How could you possibly have a war on terror? How could you possibly have a war on drugs and gangs and violence when you have millions of people right now in our country whose identities are unknown and unknowable? When I was assigned to the Unified Intelligence Division at DEA in New York, I did an analysis of who DEA was arresting. Back then, 1988, 1989, 1990, and so forth, and these numbers stayed very much constant, in New York, 60% of the people arrested for drug trafficking and related crimes were identified as being foreign-born, 30% nationwide. So, you know, right now we're being told that 230 American cities have been infested by the violent Mexican drug cartels. And then there's, of course, MS-13, which started with El Salvadoran immigrants. We have the Asian organized crime groups, Colombians, Jamaicans, the Russian mob. You name the flavor of criminal, and we get them from all over the world. And city after city is getting hammered. And right now the administration's response is to say, well, we're going to beef up the border. Well, these folks are already here. These are people who are violating the laws. These are people who are posing a threat to Americans on a daily basis. These are people who are killing Americans on a daily basis. So to hear that we have a war on terror, which justifies the continual erosion of our expectations of freedom and privacy, to hear that we're spending all this money on airport security when we expand the visa waiver program, we're now up to, I think it's 34 or 35 countries, to see all this nonsense that's being done, you quickly realize that what Congress right now is doing is acceding to the demands of very limited special interest groups and corporations. Our country right now is making economic, diplomatic, and economic decisions based on the demands of corporations and not on what common sense ought to be dictating. This is a very serious problem for all of us, and in part I blame the average American for not being involved. More people today are familiar with what the standing of their favorite ball team is in that particular sport, whether it's baseball, basketball, whatever, than they are being aware of what's going on in Congress. And in reality, those politicians are supposed to work for us. They're supposed to represent us. When we go to restaurants, we're very specific about the food that we want to eat and the way that we want it prepared. And yet, we're almost not at all engaged in the process by which government is supposed to be representing us. How does that make any sense? You know, this is my frustration, Barbara Jean, and that's why I'm so glad you're covering this issue on your wonderful program today.
Well, you know, it's an honor to have you on. I'm so excited. Actually, we have tried, and a couple of times the scheduling just didn't quite work.
Right.
But, ladies and gentlemen, it was an honor to meet him earlier, a few years back at the border, as we said. We happened to sit across the table that night, and the concern over the border has only enhanced since that time so long ago, 4 or 5 years or so. And it was interesting last night. I was happy to attend a town hall meeting here in Salt Lake Valley. This is a junior congressman, Jason Chaffetz, and he had about 1,000 people there. And I thought that was extraordinary. And certainly Senator Hatch and Senator Bennett, they've forgotten now to have dialogue live with folks from their districts. But anyway, a junior senator trying very hard and very courteous and capable, and yet in this massive audience, I just looked around and waited for someone to key in on a concern about the open border or the illegal alien and the money that's involved. We're talking about a society, a country that is a debtor nation, and we've lost all kinds of money. We don't know where it went. And we have been this vibrant, spontaneous society, a great nation. And yet so few folks seem to identify that the crux of so many problems, whether it is money or whether it is education, or whether it is security, remains a very serious problem because, as you just said, our borders are open.
Our borders are open, and people who violate our borders and violate our immigration laws today have almost nothing to fear. Deterrence is what law enforcement does best. The reason that in New York, for example, I'm not sure how it is in your state, if you drink and drive, they will not only arrest you, they will take your license, they will put you in jail, and they will take your car. And the reason that they impose those stringent measures is to deter people from drinking and driving. When I was a kid, if you got on the Belt Parkway, which is the highway that runs around New York City, it was not unusual to suddenly find everybody slowing to a crawl because some idiot decided to get not only his gas tank tanked up, but himself tanked up, and you'd have a guy doing S-turns down the highway, wobbling all over the road, and everybody would slow to a crawl for fear they would have an accident. Since they've cracked down on drunk driving, it's far more unusual today to see that kind of wacky behavior. This is what deterrence is about. Yet the groups from these so-called immigrant rights organizations are saying, well, it's a climate of fear. Well, you know something? If you're violating the law, then you should be fearful of the consequences. That's why we have laws.
We'll go to break here. Okay. We'll go to break, and we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My children were very disrespectful. They were defiant. The results from the total transformation were almost immediate. The children stopped arguing.
Is your child disrespectful and defiant with you about everything? Are they arguing with you constantly and having problems in school? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the total transformation.
They have become very task-oriented at school. They complete their assignments in a timely manner without being asked. I firmly believe it is 100% the total transformation. It truly changed our lives.
Backtalk, lying, even problems with ADD and defiant teens. I'll help you transform the worst behavior problems and get peace and sanity in your home. Guaranteed. Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less and my weekly newsletter free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Welcome back to Born on the 4th of July. We have today's guest, Michael Cutler, and he has testified many times before Congress. And I'm going to ask if there is a congressman who understands the impact of the illegal invasion, especially from the southern border, though indeed we have the same kind of misuse of the northern border. But certainly by numbers and activity, we look to the southern border. And I was wondering if there is a champion
there is.
That you know.
There absolutely is, Barbara Jean. Before I tell you about that, though, let me just point out, folks, so that you know, I'm currently a senior fellow with CAPS, Californians for Population Stabilization. They're a great organization. And if you look at what's happened to California, that's what's happening to the rest of the United States. You know, California is going bankrupt. You were just talking about money. I just want to make that point. Do you know every single year over $100 billion gets wired or otherwise transmitted out of the United States by foreign workers working inside the United States, whether they're here legally or illegally? Foreign workers come here with one basic intention in mind: to send money back to their families and their home countries. We have mortgaged our children and our grandchildren's future in what's been called an economic stimulus program to dump money into the economy to prime the economic pump. Meanwhile, when we bring foreign workers in, they're taking the money right out of our economy. This is money that is not spent in America, money that is not invested in America, not even saved in America. This is money that, for all the good it's doing us, may as well be shredded. And we're losing over $100 billion a year just in the money wired out of the country. Mexico counts American remittances or remittances from America by their illegals working in our country as being their number one or number two source of income. The same thing for El Salvador, the same thing for a bunch of other Latin American countries and countries throughout Europe and Asia and Africa. It makes about as much sense to be hiring all these foreign workers at a time like this when we're trying to get the economic pump primed as it would to turn the water on in your bathtub and leave the drain open and come back a half hour later and be dumbfounded that there's still not enough water in the tub to take a bath, although we are getting soaked. Now, and by the way, if you want to read my stuff at CAPS, it's capsweb.org. That's their website. Now, as far as your...
Tell us that organization a little bit more slowly, or
sure,
people
absolutely
might want to jot it down?
Absolutely. It's Californians for Population Stabilization. The initials they go by is CAPS, CAPS. So their website is capsweb.org. I'm also a volunteer with the 9/11 Families for Secure America. You know, I'm doing my best to try to get the message out there. This is about educating Americans so that we can go out there and slam those politicians who are refusing to represent us. And it's important to know who your politicians are. You're asking about who's good in Congress. And you know, I disagree, by the way, with Lou Dobbs on one point. And I love what Lou does. I've been on his television program over 70 times. I was just on his radio show last week. But he talks about becoming an independent. I have a better idea, I think. I believe that if you have a congressman, if you're one of the few and you really like your congressman, then you need to register to vote in the primary to support that politician, whether or not that's normally your party affiliation. On the other hand, if you think your member of Congress or your senator is a buffoon who needs a rubber nose and floppy feet to complete the ensemble, then you need to become a member of that idiot's party so you can vote him out in the primary. That gives you two votes, not one vote, to try to dislodge somebody who is not doing what you believe needs to be done in the best interests of our nation or your family. So my attitude is neither political party is really representing the average American today, so that we as Americans should show as much loyalty to the political parties as they show to us. Use the primary as a means of getting rid of members of Congress you don't like, or in those rare instances, making certain that you support somebody that you do like. That's my thought for the day. Now, as far as who I believe is really good, Lamar Smith is a gentleman. He is a Republican from Texas. You know, I don't see party here. I'm just mentioning that because he is the ranking member, the Republican member of the House Judiciary Committee. I testified before my first congressional hearing back in May of 1997. At that time, Lamar Smith was the chairman of the Immigration Subcommittee in the House of Representatives. So certainly, I think Lamar Smith is a gentleman and he is a gem. He really understands the issue. Congressman Steve King from Iowa, also a Republican, is the ranking member of the Immigration Subcommittee. I've had lunch with him. I've had many discussions with him and his staff. I have to tell you, he truly gets it. Jim Sensenbrenner, who had been the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, he is from Wisconsin. He is another gentleman who is willing to listen to reason and is willing to do what is necessary to protect our country. So, you know, there are a few. Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama is a tremendous leader. You know, in 2 years ago, when the Senate was taking up comprehensive immigration reform, I wrote a commentary that the Washington Times published. And am I hearing bumper music?
I'm hearing the music. We'll be back in a moment.
Okay, we'll talk about it after the music.
Okay.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Newsflash. Unemployment is soaring over 10%. The dollar is plummeting, and banks are beginning to close their doors. Financial experts are saying we are headed for an economic depression. 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 The world is on the brink of total meltdown. Unless you expect the government to bail you out, you must be able to grow your own healthy food. Newsflash. SurvivalistSeeds.com has just released a brand new heirloom seed pack at a dramatically reduced price. Dramatically reduced. So you and your family have a long-term food solution. 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 The choice between starvation and freedom is made by you right now. Right now. Go to SurvivalistSeeds.com. That's SurvivalistSeeds.com. Because you are almost out of time. Time. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Returning to Born on the 4th of July and to Michael Cutler. Take it away.
Well, I was just talking about an article that I wrote for the Washington Times, an op-ed piece. This is a couple of years ago when the Senate was taking up comprehensive immigration reform. And I compared all those hearings that they held, and in fact, I testified before three House hearings in the House of Representatives, and one before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And I testified about why I was opposed to comprehensive immigration reform. But I compared all of those hearings that Congress was holding with a countdown for the launch of the space shuttle. And the reason that I said that, I guess it was natural for me to make that analogy. As a kid growing up in Brooklyn, I'll be honest, I was not that much of a sports fan. Certainly I enjoyed baseball games, and in New York we have a couple of great teams. But I was a bigger fan of the space program. My heroes growing up weren't the baseball players, but were the astronauts. I even got letters from Alan Shepard and Gus Grissom and some other astronauts and so forth. So these were my heroes, and I saw in these hearings an analogy to the countdown. The purpose for a countdown at Cape Canaveral is to determine if a rocket is ready to launch. The purpose for a hearing, I believe, is to provide information to the Congress whether or not legislation should go forward, much the way it's the idea of whether a launch should go forward. And I had said that if they were going to make that analogy, that we ought to think back to what happened when Challenger was launched. There were experts, engineers, who told managers at NASA that the conditions were terrible, that the cold weather would endanger the safety of the shuttle and the crew, to please not do it. NASA refused to listen to their own experts. They launched, and we know that 73 seconds after liftoff, Challenger exploded that cold January morning back in 1986, killing the seven irreplaceable humans on board the astronauts, including schoolteacher McAuliffe. And a national treasure, the space shuttle Challenger, was lost to that explosion. And I said that legislation pending for comprehensive immigration reform imperiled far more than seven priceless astronauts. It imperiled every citizen of this great nation. And I said that if they were to be honest about what they call this legislative nonsense, a more effective or more honest name would be the Terrorist Assistance and Facilitation Act. You know, people tell me I need to be more straightforward in my approach to discussing things. But what was remarkable was Senator Jeff Sessions saw that commentary, and on three separate occasions he quoted my article, and by name, by the way, I was very honored, during the floor debate. And then he sent me a marvelous certificate thanking me for that commentary. In fact, that certificate sits next to my desk at my home. It's a reminder when I get up every morning and I continue to work on this immigration issue that you can make a difference. And, you know, I don't think I was overstating the danger of something like comprehensive immigration reform, and I'll tell you why. The agency that is responsible for making the decisions about whether or not to give immigration benefits to aliens is called USCIS, United States Citizenship and Immigration Services. They're the ones who adjudicate the applications for citizenship and for green cards to give lawful resident status to aliens. They make decisions whether or not people can change schools while they're here in the United States and so forth. All those decisions are made by that one agency. And believe it or not, 3 years ago, the General Accountability Office, responding to what two senators found out, Senators Grassley and Sue Collins from Maine, Grassley from Iowa, it turned out that USCIS claimed to have lost, you better sit down for this one, Barbara Jean, 111,000 immigration files. Let me repeat that number. 111,000 immigration files relating to aliens who applied for a variety of benefits, including, believe it or not, 30,000 aliens who applied for United States citizenship. And then they went ahead and adjudicated each and every one of those applications without the files. My suspicion, and I think I'm quite right on this, is that it wasn't so much that the files were lost, but that the agency wanted to make the process move as quickly as possible and felt that the easiest way to move that bureaucratic assembly line is not to have to bother reviewing the files. So we were giving out the keys to the kingdom to God knows how many thousands of aliens without providing the adjudicators with the necessary background information. Now, consider, if you will, that the 19 terrorists who attacked our nation on September 11th, 2001, all entered our country, but one way or another, either lied on their visa application or lied on their applications to remain here permanently. I also provided testimony to the 9/11 Commission, and I can tell you that the 9/11 Commission was able to identify 94 terrorists who operated in our country in the decade leading up to the attacks of 9/11, and they found that of those 94 terrorists, 59, or about two-thirds of them, used immigration fraud either to enter our country or to embed themselves in our country once they got here. They call it embedding. I call it hiding in plain sight. You know, a lot of people are familiar with the Rosenbergs. That was that infamous couple who back in the early 50s stole nuclear secrets and gave it to the Russians, and they were executed for their crimes. But very few people know who someone, for example, by the name of Nada Nadim Prouty is. And this is a classic example of why citizenship and the way we do it is so critically important. Nada Nadim Prouty, to give you some background, entered the United States in 1988 with a student visa. She's a woman from Lebanon. Got herself into a school in the United States, stopped going to school, overstayed her period of time, got herself a job in a restaurant in Michigan. The owner of the restaurant arranged for her and her sister, another woman from Lebanon, to engage in marriage fraud. What a marriage fraud is that two people get married, they don't live together, it's a business deal, The U.S. citizen or resident alien, whichever, gets paid money generally, and the alien in question gets a green card and ultimately citizenship. Nada Prouty did precisely that. She got to be a resident alien based on her marriage to this guy that was arranged by the owner of the restaurant. And then when she became eligible, guess what she did? She became a U.S. citizen and got a job with the FBI and then with the CIA. Turned out she was spying on those agencies for Hezbollah, and the guy who arranged the marriages is now a fugitive wanted for wiring millions of dollars back to that terrorist organization. The reason she was able to get the job at the FBI in the first place was she was able to commit immigration fraud and get away with it. There was another story about a translator, got a job working for Titan Industries at a U.S. military base in Iraq on the counterinsurgency program. Turned out that he committed immigration fraud and used his citizenship to spy on our military for no less than Al-Qaeda. So when we give out citizenship to people, we definitely need to make certain that that process has integrity, and it's that same agency that does such an inept, incompetent, and screwed-up job that would be put in charge of running any kind of an amnesty program. So, I mean, there's a bunch of reasons why I'm opposed to any kind of an amnesty for millions of people whose identities are unknown and unknowable. But first and foremost, let's look at the issue of national security. This would be an absolute nightmare for our nation. And yet the members of Congress are still pushing forward, and we the people need to be pushing back, Barbara Jean.
Now, the agency, USCIS, I guess a lot of us are having you introduce us to that particular category in this story, maybe for the first time. Was there any kind of shift after it was divulged that they were so remiss in files and records and applications? Did anyone lose their job? Was there a restructuring of the agency?
You want a simple answer? No.
Okay.
Doesn't this help you sleep the sleep of angels? You know, look, we're dealing with nothing less than the survival of our nation. I had lunch with Tom Tancredo in Santa Barbara, California, about a year ago when he announced that he was going to run for president. He had just dropped out of the race. We had breakfast. I testified for Tom a couple of weeks after 9/11, before the Immigration Reform Caucus, which led to my removal from the agency, which was fine. 30 years was more than enough. You know, my dad used to say he could tell the real man he stands for something. My dad died when I was 19. He was a construction worker. I'm sure he would have felt I did the right thing. But I said to Tom, I said, how in blazes did you allow your opponents to define you as a single-issue candidate? You know, we hear this all the time. The extremists are single-issue. They're concerned about immigrants. Well, let me tell you, immigration is not a single issue. Immigration is the major component of so many of the challenges confronting our nation today. It impacts everything from national security and criminal justice to the economy, the environment, healthcare, and education. It's not that I'm trying to scapegoat or vilify immigrants. My own mother, may she rest in peace, was an immigrant. I'm Jewish. My grandmother died in the Holocaust. If America hadn't welcomed my mom, she wouldn't have survived. I wouldn't be here. My four wonderful children wouldn't be here. Certainly, I believe I owe this country my life and my children's lives. And there are many other Americans who truly live the American dream because we allowed them to immigrate to America, or we permitted their parents to immigrate and so forth. But that system must have integrity now more than ever, and it still has no integrity. When was the last time you heard anybody talking about how we give out citizenship or residency? Chuck Schumer, who drives me straight up a wall, keeps talking about how the border is secure and now it's time for comprehensive immigration reform. We hear talk about how we're going to give these people documentation and take them out of the shadows, and we'll give them tamper-proof identity documents. Well, the issue isn't so much whether or not the identity document is tamper-proof. The bigger issue is what name do you put on that document in the first place? You see, if you give somebody an official identity document without knowing who they are, they could, in a manner of speaking, put themselves into their own witness protection program, and we give them a level of credibility that they're not really entitled to. You know, when police arrest a bad guy, one of the first things you do is you fingerprint that person. And you do it because this may come as a shock, Barbara Jean, but bad guys tend to lie. They lie about everything, starting with who they are. And then we hear this nonsense from politicians, and we hear this from some chiefs of police who know that they owe their livelihood to an elected mayor or governor or town supervisor or whatever the chief executive of their community is called. And here's the deal. There are a bunch of reasons why law enforcement vitally needs to work with immigration to do the job effectively. And remember, I was part of a drug task force. I worked day to day with city and state police, as well as with the FBI and DEA and ATF. I've even worked with foreign governments. I got an award from the Japanese government. And back in the mid-70s, I stumbled upon a PLO plot to blow up an Israeli facility that we were able to prevent. Working together, you can do amazing things. But here's the point. We often hear about how a criminal is arrested and a judge releases the criminal and the bad guy goes out and kills somebody else or commits some other heinous crime. And you say, well, my gosh, why did the judge let the guy out? Here's the deal. And I'll tell you, as an agent, very often I work with certain federal prosecutors who trusted my judgment, knew that I was aware in intimate detail with the background of a particular criminal that I arrested. So I have argued bail in federal court in more than 24 cases, and each and every time the bad guy was remanded without bail. Because a bail determination is based on two major issues, danger to the community and risk of flight. Hopefully the police officer who makes the arrest can articulate the danger to the community. The person was armed, he assaulted somebody, he stabbed somebody, he raped a girl, he robbed a bank, whatever it is. That's danger to the community. But the issue of risk of flight can be more difficult to prove. So if you have an individual who has run up a track record with immigration, for example, perhaps he or she has been deported a number of times and reentered illegally. Perhaps the person has used a number of false identities, provided non-existent or false addresses. These are all issues that help a judge who has to determine what bail should be set at to make a better decision. Why would you ignore that kind of an important track record that can paint a clear picture about that important component of risk of flight? Additionally, the immigration laws are almost custom-made for helping to flip informants, to get people who are foreign nationals to cooperate with law enforcement. The immigration laws make a marvelous carrot and stick. One of the most important things that I did when I was assigned to the drug task force at the FBI, at ATF, with the DEA, was to help them to convince foreign nationals who are involved in drug trafficking to become cooperators, to become informants. So you look at a whole spectrum of reasons why it makes sense to have law enforcement consider the immigration aspect of the case, and you have the politicians standing there saying, I don't want to hear about it. We're being told that if immigration authorities work with the police, then the immigrants wouldn't trust the police. Well, let me tell you, lots of immigrants will never trust the police. The reason isn't because they're talking to immigration. The reason is that they come from countries where corruption is so endemic that the last guy on God's green earth that you want to talk to is a guy with a gun and a badge. So when they come to the United States, they already know that they don't want to talk to the police. It's not that immigration worries them. It's that badge that worries them because they know what their experience has been throughout their entire lives back in their home country. Look at what's going on in Mexico today with all of the violence and all of the corruption. And Mexico is not alone in this crisis. So we've really got to debunk the nonsense that we're hearing from the other side. I think once you're armed with the facts, the other side has nowhere to go, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, I'm chuckling here because you hit one of the biggest arguments that we are given in our press, and our journalists write it down and present it to us. And the police chief will say, in so many words, I am not going to enforce the legislation known as S-81 that was passed in 2008, and then they delayed its implementation until 2009 here in Utah, coming into effect in July of this year. Right. And so they're all saying that they aren't going to enforce it. The reason they're giving is just what you've talked about. They say if they help with enforcing immigration law that they will not be able to have this wonderful cooperation that they seemingly think they have with the illegal community.
Let me tell you, I can tell you right now that there were so many times that we got the most incredible cooperation out of the immigrant community. And I did this as an immigration officer working with members of the New York City Police Department, because we would make it very clear to these folks, yes, I am an immigration agent, but if you can cooperate with the police, if you can identify the shooter, if you can identify the guy that was selling the narcotics, I can keep you here. My goodness gracious, do you know what a gift that is? I've testified before this event, before the Congress on this issue.
Here we go to a break. You're listening to Michael Kettler on Born on the 4th of July.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com, or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Welcome back to Born on the 4th of July. I'm looking at an AP report of the last few days.
Okay.
U.S. law enforcement is concerned that young Americans will take advantage of Mexico's new laws legalizing the use of drugs. Officially sanctioned market for consumption of the world's most dangerous drugs. The San Diego City Sheriff, and I quote, "For the people of San Diego, the rest is direct. This risk is direct and lethal. There are those who will drive to Mexico to use drugs and return to the United States under the influence. End of the quote. The report also says that Mexico's move to legalize drug use was made possible when the Obama administration gave its tacit approval or go-ahead by not stopping it a little bit or encouraging that this would not occur. Evidently, that has been discussed prior, maybe in other time frames, other administrations, and at this time, this article indicates maybe there's a softening on the side of this administration, but that adds something new to the mix, doesn't it?
Well, it does, and we keep coming back to the same problem. I mean, look at what is really going on, okay? You had George Bush telling us that he had a war on terror. In fact, we're hearing now from Tom Ridge that he was told that they wanted him to ratchet up the threat level during the election because they thought that the voters would be more likely to vote for Bush or to vote for the Republican, the ticket, rather, thinking that they're better on national security. This has all been about creating illusions. This has been all about creating images, but it has nothing to do with reality. You know, I've often joked that I don't know why David Copperfield doesn't run for president. All we're getting out of our government are illusions. We're being told war on terror, war on drugs. Meanwhile, the borders have remained open. We sent Border Patrol agents to secure the Iraqi border to protect the civilians and our military against insurgents, the terrorists, while we left our border wide open, and we continue to have a border that's very porous. Now, you have politicians wanting to provide official identity documents to people who are unable to prove who they are. You know, the only thing worse than no security is false security. And all that our government continues to give us is false security. In 1993, our country suffered two terrorist attacks, Barbara Jane, one at the CIA in January of 93, and then February, I believe it was the 27th, the World Trade Center was attacked, six people killed, hundreds injured, $500 million in damage inflicted on those towers, and one tower almost came down sideways. And for those of you folks who have never been to New York or have never been to a huge city, those towers were a quarter of a mile high. They were vertical cities. There were tens of thousands of people working there every day. My office at the main post office, when I was assigned to the ATF in New York, I worked across the street from the World Trade Center, and the window next to my desk faced the World Trade Center. I would go in there almost daily to buy coffee, do my banking, and so forth. Those towers almost came down sideways. And we did nothing in the wake of those two terrorist attacks to address the immigration issue that made those attacks possible.
We'll go to the top and we'll be right back with Michael Cutler. Don't go away.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing.